As you age, the fatigue and failing endurance you feel can't be fixed with more and more caffeine. So introducing a new way to start your day, Super Beats Heart Chews. They're a tasty treat that can give you the energy that you need and are good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, or candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add two delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without a caffeine crash. Because Super Beats Heart Chews' unique clinically researched grapeseed extract promotes heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Join over 1 million customers and get free shipping, free returns, and a 90-day money-back guarantee. And right now, you can get a free 30-day supply with your first purchase at danasbeats.com. Super Beats Heart Chews. They're a tasty treat that can give you the energy that you need and are good for you. That's danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
We in New York City have decided to use a preemptive strike to really do something bold to stop the further growth of COVID and the dangers it's causing to all of us. So as of today, we're going to announce a first in the nation measure. Our health commissioner will announce a vaccine mandate for private sector employers across the board. All private sector employers in New York City will be covered by this vaccine mandate as of December 27th. We're going to have some other measures as well to really focus on maximizing vaccination quickly so we can get ahead of Omicron and all the other challenges we're facing right now.
Boy, they sound like they're having a lot of fun up there, don't they? Up in New York. Oh, my gosh. So that's the latest news. That's the absolute latest news right now. That's coming out of Manhattan. You have Bill de Blasio, who's now, this is not for public sector. This, it's for private sector, all private sector. So it's not like if you're working for the government, it doesn't matter. It's still about you. It's about you. Ooh, welcome to the show. It's good to be with you. It's Monday. And how many weeks out are we at from Christmas?
Just under 3.
Okay, so if I start like really beating you over the head with certain Christmas songs, it's understandable, right? Okay, because it's never too early to start celebrating Jesus' birthday. Am I right, you heathens? Am I right? Okay. So, danalash.com, like I said, always good to be with you. Happy Monday. Get you started in your week. This mandate, all New Yorkers, if you work in the city's private sector, doesn't matter if you don't live there. If you work there, you have to have the injection. So it doesn't matter if you, because I saw some debate, people were like, well, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's just if you work there, you could live in Connecticut. If you got to come into work to New York, you got to have your injection. Oh, and this is going to kick in on December 27th. They said that they're trying to blunt the threat posed by the new depends on who says it. No, wait a minute. Joe Biden says Omicron. So we know that he is Father Confusion is never wrong. Omicron. So the variant they're trying to control, they say that this is okay. I have a question just about that. I'm going to interrupt myself 5,000 times with this topic today. Here's my question with this. If you're trying to blunt the variant, why is it that, and you know that the injection does not stop transmission. And I talked to Scott Atlas about this. We talked to Dr. Scott Atlas about this last week. You know that the injection does not mean that you cannot transmit it. So technically, and again, I only play a doctor on television and radio. So if you get the injection, you could still give it, you could still be contagious. It doesn't make you less contagious. And then there's some studies about shedding the virus and all other stuff, blah, blah, blah. But how, if it kicks in on the 27th, how is that containing or stopping anything? Because isn't a lot of travel after Christmas? I mean, wouldn't it, right? Yeah. I'm just saying, this is why I don't think it's about science. And I don't think it's about people who are trying to do the very bare minimum to minimize liberty and minimize infringements on liberty. I reject that as well, because I see some people on the left trying to argue that, like, oh, well, they're trying to not put too much burden on people and let them move about freely, etc. I don't think that it's never been about this, because if it was just a, if it, they really thought that this is going to contain anything, I think that they would be honest and they wouldn't put their faith in an injection that actually doesn't contain anything. We have more people who have been injected and have been claimed to be vaccinated now, but yet our fatalities this year are higher than they were the previous year. So there's clearly something, and we were all told that in order to get back to normal, and normal mean being like the pre-pandemic life, all we had to do was go and get the injection. And you get the injection and you can go back to a regular life. Isn't that what we were all told? And so now, by the way, have you all seen what's happening in Germany and Austria? These people. How many generations does it take, like, getting separating people by fences and camps out of the way? Like, how long does it take?
Only one.
I know. Yeah. So this, I was looking at this picture. And well, there's a number of pictures and video. They call it the Berlin Wall of COVID at the supermarket. In a German market, there is a legit, because Germany has imposed all these restrictions on people who aren't vaccinated. And so there's a supermarket in Germany where they have like fences separating the vaxxed from the unvaxxed. And I was looking at the fence, and it's like a wire fence. It's open, like air can pass through it. Kane, is this thing airborne? The virus?
Yeah, it actually is.
Okay, so explain to me how a fence that has, it's just a wire fence, and you can actually poke stuff through it. How does this work for an airborne virus?
It is not effective to stop any airborne virus.
Oh.
Zero effectiveness.
Zero effectiveness.
That's just science.
I'm so confused. But I was told that if you got the injection, the other thing is too, the people who get the injection, they can transmit this. So you basically have a fence for nothing.
But what they can't do anymore is prevent transmission.
That's Dr. Rochelle Walensky, CDC, saying this, what, for like 2 months ago?
Yeah, September, actually.
Okay, yeah. So it doesn't prevent transmission. So what's the point of having this fence? How stupid is that? I would knock that over. I actually would. I wouldn't shop at that. At some point, there is a line where civil disobedience is an obligation. It's a duty. Peaceful. Like, I don't want to hurt people. But if people were going to demand that I do this, or that I would have to go buy a fence, yeah, you better believe I'd be. Uh-huh. It's in my DNA. See, it's my moral center that keeps me from acting on my worst impulses. It's not the law, okay? The laws, I feel very Joker about that, by the way. I really do. The law is something that people who are corrupt pat themselves on the back about because they know they're not going to follow it, but the good people will. We're all of a sudden now we're the Batman movie. Here we go. I noticed some people really quickly. If you watch the simulcast of our nationally syndicated radio show on the first, it was brought to my attention by one of our followers. It's Cable News Watch that I am dressed like a cat burglar today. And I did not realize that until just now. Black, 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 black. My shoes are, well, they're Adidas. So they're white with some black on them. But it's for a reason. It's because it's chilly outside. The moment it gets below 70 degrees, Dana wants to start a fire and turn on the heat. I don't do good with cold temperatures. I'm not an Arctic person. Alpine playing on Call of Duty makes me cold. So just FYI. So I am a cat burglar today. I feel like I can't unsee it now. But to my point, back to my story with this, the supermarket and the civil disobedience and that, what is the point? I think that some people in certain countries are primed for more government imposition than less. Like here in the United States, there are some of us who, well, hell, I get mad when I have to renew my CHL. I'm like, why do I have to sit here and pay a fee to ask the government to continue carrying, you know, although now we have constitutional carry, that's September 1st. But previously I was mad over that. I get aggravated. I'm so anti-authoritarian. I almost don't want to follow instructions. That's how much we are very different here in the United States. We are a bunch of ornery people. Like that's actually a thing in our DNA. And it doesn't matter if you're born here, when you want to become part of the American family, you get the freedom virus and it changes your DNA. And all of a sudden you get so stubborn and so ornery. And that serves us all so well, because the more stubborn you are, the least likely somebody is going to be able to roll you over. But, and I see these people in this, and I could not get over this picture this weekend. I see these people in this grocery store still going about doing their regular everyday shopping, getting their items. And there's a fence, like a legit fence. New York Times said that Chancellor Angela Merkel and her successor, Olaf Scholz. I really enjoy saying his name. We're going to have a lot of fun with him. Olaf Scholz. My husband's German, so I can do the German accent in a mocking way. I can. It's okay. I'm not appropriating anything. Stop. And state governors who've agreed on tough new restrictions on people who've not been inoculated, Kane. So, and they said that they're going to exclude unvaccinated people from public life. And so now you see the fences. I just, there's a fence. It's like a big giant chicken wire fence. In a grocery store, you can shove paper through it. The virus is airborne. So if you can stick your hand through the fence, the virus can probably go through too. It's not like the virus is going to stop at the fence and be like, oh no, guys. I can't go through here. They're in Germany, so it has an accent. I can't go through here. The law says no. I'm going to go stay on my side. That's not how it works. It doesn't work like that. They're following because Australia demanded that everybody be inoculated. Okay, here's my question. If the demand is that everybody be inoculated, even if you get the injection, you're not inoculated. So nobody's following the decree, technically, if you wanted to be a brat about it. Let's get into the semantics of it. I just can't imagine going in a grocery store. These people, they're just like picking out their, what are they, at the deli aisle? It looks like they're at a prepared food section. Right. So what if you're on the other side of the meats? Do you have to yell over the fence? I would like some sausages. I don't know. Like, how does this work? Do you yell and they throw it over at you? Like, they do the rolls?
That fence isn't even as good as the sneeze guard.
No, it's not. The sneeze guard, you're right. The sneeze guard is better than that fence. An average toddler could run this fence down. This is a glorified baby gate. It's what it is. They're baby gating people. Can you imagine? This is when civil disobedience becomes a duty, folks. And now you have Bill de Blasio. Everybody's got to get the vax. How are they going to enforce this? So I've heard from two different people who've said that they've been in New York, and they're both friends of mine, who have been in New York in Midtown Manhattan because they work in media. And all the media stuff is in Midtown Manhattan. Midtown is where you have Times Square. It's the touristy part. It's hell on earth. It's just, I can't, if you cannot stay in crowds. I have a story about how one time I had to go to a Sephora because I left my makeup brushes at home, and I don't like anybody in television studios doing my makeup because they'll do you for the lights and you could walk out of there looking like a damn Oompa Loompa and not even knowing. And I had to brave the wilds of Times Square, where it is insane to get into a crazy Sephora to get a couple makeup brushes. It's nuts. So I had two friends in Midtown, and they're like, one of them said, I have never been checked going to any restaurant or anything. Do they even enforce this? And then I had another friend who's like, I've been checked every single place I've gone, every restaurant. I even went into like a bodega and I was checked there before I actually could even grab, like, she wanted to grab a drink and a snack because she was running between networks. I'm like, oh my gosh. So I don't know exactly. I haven't gone to New York for that reason. One of my friends has a show on Fox. He's number one late night, by the way. He is. He's beating everybody. And I would love to go on with them. They've invited me a million times, but I can't because don't even think I could get in the building. We have a lot more still on the way because I have some of the latest. We were talking about some of the Omicron. There's some evidence that is now, doctors are asking, could this be related to just the common cold? I mean, because the common cold is technically a coronavirus. We're going to discuss that. We're going to get into some of the law and order. Bank of America is telling people to dress down as New York City crime surges. They're not the only ones. We're going to discuss that. The Fed Boys Parade in D.C. over the weekend. Did you guys see the Fed Boys Parade? Oh, the fun to be had and made over this. We've got a lot, so you don't want to miss a single bit of the program. As you age, the fatigue and failing endurance you feel can't be fixed with more and more caffeine. So introducing a new way to start your day, Super Beats Heart Chews. They're a tasty treat that can give you the energy that you need and are good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, or candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add two delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without a caffeine crash. Because Super Beats Heart Chews' unique clinically researched grapeseed extract promotes heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Join over 1 million customers and get free shipping, free returns, and a 90-day money-back guarantee. And right now, you can get a free 30-day supply with your first purchase at danasbeats.com. Super Beats Heart Chews. They're a tasty treat that can give you the energy that you need and are good for you. That's danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Oh, boy. All right, so Kamala Harris is described as a bully and a soul-destroying boss. It's just girl boss. Boss babe. Get my boss babe on. Wow, there's another B in there. Boss babe. I'm just saying. The vice president has been described as a bully by the Washington Post. Apparently all kinds of birds are singing now. It's a report that brands her as the, quote, common denominator behind a bunch of, a huge exodus of high-level staffers. They said that, one of the four former aides, Gil Duran, that's a good last name. They asked, who are the next talented people you're going to bring in and burn through? And then have them pretend they're retiring for positive reasons. Oh, snap. That sounds like they're all fighting and it's not going to be good for anybody. Chris Cuomo totally throws Jeff Zucker under the bus. You knew this was coming. Like, you knew this was going to happen. So after CNN fires Chris Cuomo because of lots of reasons, Chris Cuomo now says that Jeff Zucker knew about the involvement in this the whole time. So he's going to try to take him down with him. I'm here for this fight. Let's all pop popcorn together. Ancient Egyptian elites drank thick porridge like beer as part of their rituals and ceremonies 5,800 years ago, according to a study. I am intrigued. A thick porridge like beer? Is it like malt oatmeal? I love me some malt oatmeal. That's the breakfast treat. I love it. Experts analyzed pottery fragments. Oh, that means somebody didn't clean their pottery right. They found traces of wheat, barley, and grass. Ew, there's stuff crusted on it. And it was used to make beverages. They said it would have been cloudy and sweet with low alcoholic content. Sounds like a lot of calories, though. A lot of carbs, right? You're probably sleepy after that. Just saying. Let's see. This COVID antiviral pill, it could be a COVID pill on the way, that would be offered to vulnerable patients before Christmas in a first at-home treatment for the virus. They said that there's going to be a national pilot launch of the molnupiravir pill.
Sure.
Yeah, that works. The COVID tablet. That's what everybody's going to call it. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store. As the holidays approach, give back to our deployed service members by shopping Black Rifle Coffee Company. Black Rifle Coffee Company is not your typical coffee company. Developing their explosive roast profiles with the same mission focus learned as military members, Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders. With every purchase you make, they give back. Founded and operated by veterans, the team at Black Rifle Coffee Company know what a quality cup of coffee means to active duty troops spending the holidays away from home. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV today. The team has spent thousands of hours tasting and perfecting coffee from all over the world to bring you the freshest coffee in America. Use promo code DanaTV for 20% off coffee, apparel, gear, and 20% off your first month of the coffee club. Give back to our deployed service members by shopping Black Rifle Coffee Company. That's blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV for 20% off coffee, apparel, gear, and 20% off your first month of the coffee club. That's blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV.
Politics, pop culture, and whatever else gets canceled, tossed in a blender, paid for by sponsored hate mail. It's The Dana Show.
You know, I think that we have seen now that this is likely to become an endemic disease here in the United States and really around the world. We have many diseases that are endemic, influenza being one of them, that cause us minor challenges year after year and that we can handle and tackle. And that may very well be what happens with COVID.
It happened already with COVID. That's CDC Director Rochelle Walensky. Are we just now going to pretend that we haven't this whole time that it hasn't been endemic? Because it is, and that's, we know it is, and that's how this is all working. Welcome back to the show, everybody. DanaLash.com. Good to be with you. Get my children's book, Paws Off My Cannon. The left is mad about it, and they don't know how to attack it because it doesn't technically have guns in there, but it talks about self-defense, and that's bad somehow. I don't know. So the, of course, it's endemic. Although I will say there was, bring this link up. I saw this, actually I was reading about this. This is the first thing I was reading this morning. Was this piece that's asking now whether or not, because Omicron is more, it's more infectious, but it's mild.
Omicron.
And they say that it looks to potentially unseat Delta as the dominant strain. And so if the effects are super mild, that's a really, you know, good thing. There are no fatalities so far associated with it. They have nothing, no data on any kind of hospitalizations. They know nothing about asymptomatic infections. One of the, at least on this variant, one of the top doctors on this is that, we've played her audio before. She's the South African Medical Association chair, Dr. Angelique Kotese. She had said that it's mild without any prominent symptoms. The report that comes down from Tshwane, which is the, I wouldn't say ground zero, but it's been hardest hit by Omicron in South Africa. They said that the analysis that they did, they looked at their patients, a couple hundred patients there. And they said that the significant early finding in their analysis is that it's much shorter if they do have in South Africa any kind of hospitalization. They said they had 166 that I guess were admitted. Doesn't mean they stayed in the hospital. 42 out of the 166 stayed, meaning they stayed for treatment for the variant. But what they said was that it was only for like 2 days. The average is like 2.5 days for the for this Omicron variant, compared to 8.5 days, which was the average length for the previous variants in the past 18 months. They said NICD reports a similar shorter length of stays for all hospitals, and Tshwane in its weekly report. And they said the national average length of stay, it's consistent in other areas. So essentially less than half of the people who were admitted to be triaged and I guess get treatment to go home, they less than half of them actually were admitted, and then they were there for 2 days and sent home. Sounds like it was like intravenous stuff and, you know, things like that. But the weird thing, they said the symptoms are mild. So they have you have super mild symptoms and super mild symptoms, shorter hospital stays. And this is according to, this is from one of their major areas here. They said also that they have, and they're confident in terms of the size of their survey. Because they said that they noted that the number of people who were coming, and let me let you know where this link is from. I'll put this in the, it's a very long, it's their government. It's a report on their government's website, and I'll put this in your prep email for the newsletter. But this, they were saying that they were very positive in the number of people that they surveyed. They felt good about it in terms of the ratio of the people that they surveyed in the entire population, because their policy is that they, when they find these patients, they have them come back and get testing again, et cetera. And they kind of monitor them just so they can have that data. And they said that most of the patients didn't even know that they had it. They accidentally discovered it. So here's the thing. Of the 166 that actually went into the hospital with it, and of those, they said 42 stayed like 2 days. Of the 166, they were actually at the hospital for other issues, and they just accidentally discovered that they had it, because it was routine that they tested. Is that not crazy? They had no idea. And so there's a difference between being admitted, being tested, and then also staying for like 2 days, you know, 8 days with the previous variants. And I think that nuance is important, especially when it's used as like this fear-mongering tactic by our press. Don't you think that's, I mean, there's a big difference there, correct? There's a big difference. Like if you go to urgent care or if you go to the ER, and you go in because say you have like a high fever, you got a cough or whatever, and you get it, you're admitted because you have to sign a discharge form when you leave, and you go, you get treated, you whatever, you get tested, you're sent back home. That's not a hospital, that's not a stay, but they count, I think that they're counting the admittances as stays. Now, this is a huge difference because if you're staying previously with the original strain and then the subsequent variants before Omicron, it was an average of 8.5 day stay for the people who stayed in the hospital and were admitted to the wards. Notice that the people who stayed when they were, because I was looking at these numbers that they had gathered internationally and they were comparing them. That's how they were comparing. They didn't have enough data into Schwein to compare the data of the people that had Omicron that were there for 2.5 days. So they looked at internationally, and internationally it was like 8.5 day stay. And what gets me is that the number of hospitalizations from what I was looking at are higher than the number of people who had this on average 8.5 stay. So I think we have to be very careful with the nuance, especially when it's being used to fearmonger. And there's a bunch of links on that. Financial Times also had a piece on this as well. And that's where I'm like questioning, like, why are the, you know, the admittances and then the people who are staying for a period of time. So it is, they're mild. And even if people are staying, it's only for a couple of days. And here's the other thing, though, too. There's some research that is coming out. And let me get this. I'm going to cite this. There is some research this is the South African National Institute for Communicable Diseases. And so the research that they have on Omicron compared to Delta in terms of reinfection, the research that they have, and again, this is initial early research, shows, and Financial Times, this is where I found it, was through Financial Times, it shows that people are more likely to be reinfected with Omicron versus other states, other strains. That's a sign, they say, of you know, immune evasion. They said relative risk of being affected with Omicron after prior COVID reinfection as a percentage of the risk for someone with no prior infection. So they say that there's researchers discovered, and this is Reuters, with Omicron, that there is a snippet of genetic material from another virus in the new strain. This is the one that possibly causes the common cold. And it helps to evade the immune system, thus it's more contagious, but it is milder. Very interesting. But this could be the dominant strain. And if it's the dominant strain, then... interesting. So wouldn't it be lovely if our news media reported on that, right? Yeah. Would be great. So that's how it's related to the common cold. In South Africa, they don't have a hospitalization surge. And this is the other thing. It is lower severity. There isn't a surge at all. They said that they're not overwhelmed. It's very mild. They sound actually very just relaxed about it. Like, yeah, this is happening. Well, it sounds, I mean, honestly, when you're looking at everything doctors are saying about it, it kind of sounds like it's another mutation of the common cold, or that it mutated into essentially being like the common cold and related to it because it shares some of that DNA. Fascinating stuff. So that would be, and they said that all of the patients that they had that when they were hospitalized for the 2 days, they didn't require oxygen. That's a huge difference. Major difference. So if that becomes the dominant strain, that's actually good news. So a few other things here. It's you're not going to have a white Christmas this year because those are bad, you horrible racists. BLM is having, they call it the Black Christmas campaign, and they are boycotting white owned shops. I don't know. Why are people like this?
Why wouldn't you just promote black-owned businesses and not boycott white-owned businesses? That makes no sense.
Yeah, I know. Where are the corporate donors for Black Lives Matter? Out of curiosity. And I agree with you. Why couldn't you just support black-owned businesses if that was the? Yeah, they're saying that this is Newsweek. Had a piece on it as well. They're holding their annual Christmas boycott of white companies. Because at first I thought, well, why is it just now? Like, why wouldn't you do it earlier? Why would it be just, you know, now? But they said that they are calling on people to spend their money over the festive period on Black-owned businesses as part of their Christmas campaign. They're and encouraging boycotts of what they say are white supremacist capitalism. They said no spending with white companies from 11/26 to 1/01/2022. It's Black Xmas. That's their website. They said to move your money out of white corporate banks that finance our oppression. This is some Marxist stuff, is what it is. They said that white supremacist capitalism invented policing. Oh my gosh, what? What? Here I was making fun of Kane for like diving in deep in an old thing about Amazon Web Services terms of service. And here you know what? You know what invented the policing?
Still scary.
The policing thing? People coming together and saying, hey, can we create like, you know, like a social agreement here about we'll agree to vote, we'll vote on how much and people can voluntarily choose to take up the job paid for by whatever we agree to make sure our area stays safe. That's what did it. And in fact, it's actually social contracts. I know like some anarcho-capitalists are very against social contracts. I can see it's easy to argue for or against because of the nature of them to go down a slippery slope and go turning into full-blown socialism. I don't know who made up the rule that you have to be either or, black or white, in every one particular group. I mean, I hate socialism and communism, but I understand people getting together and determining that they're going to live within an area and then they vote to have people. I mean, you have to participate in that. So anyway, that's a separate discussion, but that's not an actual, it's not a capitalism thing. I mean, in fact, social contracts are kind of socialist. Social contracts. Herp, 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 herp. It's okay. Everything's capitalism. And then thus everything is racist. It's so stupid. It's dumb. By the way, do you know that not just white people can be police? Did you know that, Kame?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did know that.
I know a lot of black officers. There are a lot of black officers in our police department. Very nice gentlemen. Very nice gentlemen. They're always, we always see them like, cause they'll direct church stuff or we'll see them out and about and very nice. I don't know why there's this thought that if you want to change policing, you got to be a part of it. This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms, pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
This song, Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney. This is another classic Christmas standard, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Dana Show. I mean, the chorus is fun. You're simply having a wonderful Christmas time. And even when the kids are doing their kids choir part, and you don't know what the heck is actually going on, you still kind of go along with it. Because I don't know. Do, 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 do. That's part of the... apparently, this song is very divisive. You either love this song or you hate it with the burning passion of a thousand suns. I love this song. This and Donny Hathaway, this is how it's got to be done. See, like, here's the choir of the kids, but they sing later on. They practice all year long, you know. I just love this song. It's fun. Welcome back. DanaLash.com is the website. Make sure you go sign up for the newsletter at Chapter and Verse as well. And there's a few things still that we got a lot of stuff still to get into, wrapping up our first hour of our broadcast. I have to ask, so Kane's freaking out. And he jumps in. He's like, oh my gosh, have you seen the terms of service on Amazon Web Services? Oh my gosh, it's talking about eating flesh. They're talking about eating flesh in here.
First of
look
all,
at the link. Look at the screenshot.
First of all,
look at it.
Before we get started,
what he's doing.
You know that song, Wonderful Christmas Time, is really about friends practicing witchcraft?
No, it's not.
You didn't realize that?
Shut up. That's it is not.
Of, what are you
Stop
talking
it.
About?
No, it's not.
Yeah,
it's talking
is.
About Christmas. Christmas.
The moon is right. The mood is right. The spirit's up.
Yeah. We're here tonight.
We're here
and
tonight.
That's what's up or enough, whatever.
Yeah. It's witchcraft.
It's not witchcraft. I can't deal with you right
it's
now.
It's total witchcraft.
It's not. They're talking about the Christmas spirit. Thank you. Why don't you take your tinfoil hat off?
I see.
So Kane's like, have you seen section 4210 of Amazon Web Services? That's talking about, they're eating flesh. Why are they talking about flesh eating with Amazon? That's what he's saying to me. He made me control F search it. I found it in here, but then I also found, so first off, you tell people what you found, and then I'll tell you what it's been reported.
Yeah, on 42.10 in the terms of service or the service terms in Amazon Web Services is about, you know, Lumberyard and about, and then a reanimation of humans that eat flesh and brains and nerve tissue. And
so it's a game.
Yeah. And virus transmitted via bites.
Yeah, it talks about Lumberyard Materials, which is capitalized. So it was a proper noun.
Yeah. And so I always believe in the soft introduction of evil things. And this is what I think it is. I think this is just a soft introduction of what eventually government mandated vaccines will end up being.
Okay. Kane, they're talking about a game. They reported this in 2016.
That's how you soft introduce it.
Amazon wrote a zombie apocalypse clause into its terms of service, and here's why. And they said it was because Lumberyard, they did it as a joke for their game. And they said it was, that's why they did it for free publicity. You know, okay, stay with us. We got more in store. As you age, the fatigue and failing endurance you feel can't be fixed with more and more caffeine. So introducing a new way to start your day, Super Beats Heart Chews. They're a tasty treat that can give you the energy that you need and are good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, or candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add two delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without a caffeine crash. Because Super Beats Heart Chews' unique, clinically researched grapeseed extract promotes heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Join over 1 million customers and get free shipping, free returns, and a 90-day money-back guarantee. And right now, you can get a free 30-day supply with your first purchase at danasbeats.com. Super Beats Heart Chews. They're a tasty treat that can give you the energy that you need and are good for you. That's danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
Ultimately, this is about trust in media, as Sarah was referring to. Trust in media. Has CNN lost trust as a result of this, Sarah Wick?
Yeah. You think? That's Brian Stelter. You think they've lost trust? Welcome back to the show. DanaLash.com, second hour of our program. Chapter and verse at Substack. Sign up to my newsletter. Get all kinds of stuff. All kinds of good things there. And my book, Pause Off My Cannon, for the kids at this Christmas. Make sure you go. I have all information up all over the Webernets. So Brian Stelter, first off, okay, so we had Chris Cuomo who was fired, right? And so on the heels of this, you have people now, Axios has this piece out that all the media are retweeting. Right wing builds its own echo chamber. And they look at downloads of right wing apps. And they look at everything, like Stelter had tweeted, Axios AM's lead this morning. The right's echo chamber is so much bigger than merely TV and radio. Conservatives are building their own apps, phones, cryptocurrencies, and publishing houses to circumvent mainstream tech and media ecosystem. Now, remember how the left always is like, oh, you got shut down. Why just build your own platform? Just build your own. And when Parler, you all remember last year when Parler tried to do this, what ended up happening? Amazon Web Services that had just entered into a similar contract with Twitter, exactly the same that it had with Parler, decided that they were going to drop Parler over some unsubstantiated claims that they weren't accurately cleaning up the comments that were made on their platform that went against unprotected speech, which simply wasn't true. But they wanted any kind of excuse to drum parlor out of the social media ecosystem. And with it, when all the payment processes and everything else, a lot of people pulled their services, making it impossible for Parler to stay online at that point. Now, any time that this happens, and I go back to this was probably back in 2010, and it was called the Don't Go movement, hashtag Don't Go. And it was one of the first viral movements that exploded on social media on Twitter. And it had to do with then at the time, Nancy Pelosi, who's been there forever, House Speaker. They were debating this energy bill, and it had to do with gas prices. And it was in August, and Democrats just wanted to go. They wanted a break and go back to their districts for a bit. And Republicans refused to leave. Nancy Pelosi shut off the C-SPAN cameras, literally turned out the lights, and eventually had people escorted from the floor with Capitol Police. And so everyone was telling Republicans, don't go, because we wanted an alleviation from higher gas prices. And this was under Obama. And so that's every time conservatives are successful on social media, or with any kind of independent media, the left cries for them to be regulated. And so it was from that era that the whole tracker movement was born, where campaigns would hire videographers to follow their opponents and try to get some compromising material. And that happened after we all started going to those infamous town halls back in 2010, when the Too Big to Fail and everything else, and people were speaking and they were called once again terrorists and everything else, just like parents are being called today. And video of all of this got out and they went viral, et cetera. And so everything kind of exploded. And so now, even despite after conservatives were so much more successful than the left in terms of organizing online, what the left ended up doing was they pressured social media. They wanted algorithms changed on Twitter so that things weren't organic anymore. It was ultimately a bunch of editing. It was basically a giant editing process is what it was. And they wanted it to where it was, conservatives could be regulated into some manner of silence. And so here we are again now, where you have a bunch of people on the right who are like, you know what, we will create our own thing. So you have Rumble, which is a conservative alternative to YouTube. They've gone public. They've agreed to go public. Then you also have the Truth Social, Trump's. You have Getter, which is another one. You have, let's see here. And although Getter, I think, just to be completely fully honest, I'm going to pull this up because not every outlet is the same. And I think it was let me pull this up. This was over at Getter. There are some questions about the ties to one of the founders of, or one of the people who are backing Getter, Guo Wenjui. And he is apparently, he's like that. He has some associations with China, and some people were looking at whether or not he had some associations with CCP and all of this. And there's a lot of disinformation that's coming out of China, by the way. So there were some questions there. Cloud storage. There's a new cloud storage company, but there's new publishing companies, crypto. There's a Freedom Phone being developed by some conservatives. They've actually, I think, approached us about that, back channel, but, there's all kinds of stuff. And so you have Axios that's lamenting this and saying, oh my gosh, they're building their own echo chamber. Isn't that what the left has done for decades? The left has all these people, have they ever met network news? Have they ever met Hollywood? Have they ever met newspapers? Have they ever met music? Have they ever met publishing? Have they ever met any of this? Have they ever met any of them? I mean, it's the left that has built their own echo chamber. Whenever they're challenged, they cry for regulation of the right. This is how screwed up their echo chamber is. Publishing is so lefty, it's insane. This is why my kid's book, Hands Off My Cannon, which is very similar to, yes, Hands Off My Gun, or Paws Off My Cannon. That's why I always, Hands Off My Gun was my first book. Paws Off My Cannon is what, I'm like, that'll be fun for the kid's book, but I keep, now I'm just going to mesh them all up in one title. But Paws Off My Cannon, even though it doesn't have any guns in it, it talks about self-defense and et cetera, et cetera. And I don't glorify defenselessness, purposeful defenselessness. And so it's difficult. I mean, that's something that probably would have been pulled on Amazon or would have been reviewed down into a hole in the ground. So that's with Brave Books. That's why we're, it's you can only purchase it off the Brave Books site. But here's how crazy it is. So like the New York Times bestseller list, for instance, it's very, you either have to be backed by a company that can buy thousands and thousands of your books if you're conservative. And that's usually how, that's in fact how some people even get on that list, is because they have companies buy thousands and thousands of copies of their books. Because if you, it's weighted to favor stores like Barnes and Noble and things like that. Costco, Walmart, particularly Walmart, they're sort of, they're weighted to be lower than that of a Barnes and Noble. So think about the shopping habits of people who listen to the right as opposed to the left. People who listen to the right, if their books are being sold, they're purchasing through what, like Sam's Club or Costco or Walmart, even things like that. That's not going to count as much as if a book is purchased at like a Barnes and Noble or an independent bookseller, etc. It's weighted more for the books for the Barnes and Noble and some of, just be honest, more left-friendly institutions. And so you have people who deserve to be on the bestseller list, New York Times bestseller list, where they have their ratings cut in half because Walmart versus Barnes and Noble. That's the dirty secret of publishing. That's why I always tell people, if you really want to boost someone's rate, buy it. Don't buy it off of, don't buy it off Walmart. Try to order it off Barnes and Noble, even if that means you have to purchase it online, because it's going to boost them more. I mean, I have friends who have been in publishing. I've seen it with my books before, prior. I mean, I've seen Russell Brand's book be counted higher than my own because I had more sales through Walmart than I did through like other books. It's just crazy. And so there's this, when they talk about echo chambers, the left has created this massive echo chamber for themselves. And they had to do it inorganically with social media. Now they're mad that the right is creating all of this stuff. They're mad that the right will just do their own thing. And they said, oh, it's, you know, their echo chamber is so much bigger than TV and radio. They got so mad over talk radio because the right dominated. Do you know why? Because people are inundated with leftist viewpoints everywhere else. They're inundated. They watch television. They watch a movie. They listen to music. They read a book. They read a newspaper. They get their news from the network at night. Every single thing. And now they're whining again. They're trying to get ahead of it. And they don't. It's like, it's just amazing to me that they have no ability to see themselves in their accusations. It's nuts. In addition to this, a couple of other things. Did you guys see the Fed Boy parade that happened over the weekend? It is some group called the Patriot Front. I've never heard of this group. Look, I have been in the streets protesting. I've crashed protests. I mean, my gosh, I've been like by myself crashing protests before. I would go like in the streets like in 08. 07, 08, and I would find like lefty protests, and if I saw them getting interviewed, I would go behind them and be ridiculous so that they couldn't air the footage. Oh yeah, I've been doing this for a long time. And I've traveled all over the country. I've raised money for grassroots groups. I've helped out grassroots groups. I have never heard of this, never heard of them. Are they like, so what I understand, that it's they say they're a white supremacist group. So they all go to the same store. They buy the same blue pullovers, the same khakis. They all wear these gaiters to cover their faces. They all wear the same khaki hats. None of them can march in unison. And they carry flags. And they were saying some. So they march to the Lincoln Memorial, which, by the way, that's a major fail if you're a white supremacist group. And you're marching to the Lincoln Memorial. You just failed. And they said that they were going to reclaim America. Dude, I don't think it's a real thing. I really do not. This is after you had the federal government that already had culpability in organizing and trying to recruit for the Gretchen Whitmer kidnap plot. This is after you had the Fed boys at the, what is it? It was supposed to be a rally for January 6 people that were incarcerated, and a bunch of dudes with the exact same standard issue watch and the same crew cut, the Fed boys, the Abercrombie and Fed boys, they had their article. Their pictures in all these articles. And then, I mean, it just, and then you had a guy who was arrested there who legit was a federal agent and was caught on video being arrested, and then he had to show his federal agent badge, and they walked away. I mean, come on. So the, everything seems, and then you had the Lincoln Project that pulled their stunt. They're so far from being like fed, though. They're kind of dumb. But I think it's interesting, and I was looking at this. It all started, there was one AI account. There was an account that has an AI-generated photo that started this. And they were the first to tweet it out. And the very first to tweet it out. And then after that, all of these other media outlets started tweeting it out about these. And they were saying something like they were in a U-Haul and all of it's just one of the it's one of the kookiest things I've ever seen. And I just I think it was real. Daily Beast wrote about it. And apparently they found themselves stranded because I don't know. But there's a, no, I'm just saying, there's like a couple of things that I think is weird with this. And I think it was totally staged. I think it was a Fed thing. Look, after everything that we saw with 2016, after everything that we've seen with the Bidens and China, and you have the Bidens that are making money off of China's Belt and Road Initiative, like the Biden family is actually enriching themselves, helping to entrench communism in other countries. That is inarguable. I'll beat you over the head with facts. It's just not even up for debate. There are receipts, there's photos, there's all kinds of stuff. Don't. Just save yourself the issue and find something else to defend. After seeing all of this stuff, it's very difficult for me now to roll my eyes when I see headlines about something being fake or this being a Fed boy thing. Now I'm like, yeah, it seems like, yeah, I get it. Yeah, it seems plausible. Makes more sense. Occam's razor, right? We're going to talk more about this because I've got some very interesting, there's some research about this, including how this spread and who first started tweeting about it, or what started tweeting about it, I should say. So we got all of that and more. And then also here coming up on the show, we're going to speak with here after headlines, Aaron Dorr. He is the political director of the Missouri Firearms Coalition. They've blasted Missouri Senate candidate Eric Greitens, who opposed the Second Amendment Preservation Act and is now trying to say that he actually fully supports it. And apparently he was also against constitutional carry. Yep. So we're going to talk about, really, does he support Second Amendment here coming up? We'll talk about that. You don't want to miss it. Wireless service is more than just connecting, sharing, and productivity. It's about trusting that your provider shares your values and cares about you. There's no one you can trust more than Patriot Mobile. America's only Christian conservative-based wireless company, Patriot Mobile gives a portion of every dollar to support the things you believe in, such as the First, Second Amendment, veterans, first responders, sanctity of life. You can help mobilize freedom by switching to Patriot Mobile today. With a 100% U.S.-based team, Patriot Mobile has the highest rating for customer service of any wireless company. Patriot Mobile listens to you and won't try to sell you what you don't need. They'll work to find a plan that fits any budget and their broad, dependable coverage. Switch to Patriot Mobile today and get free activation and a free gift with promo code Dana. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Veterans and first responders save even more, so make the switch today. When you switch, use promo code Dana for free activation and a free gift.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
So it was just announced a diplomatic boycott of the Beijing Winter Olympics in China, according to the White House, which is entirely meaningless because it's not a real boycott unless businesses and athletes also pull out. But some people are just, they just love Xi the Pooh too much. They love all that cash and they'll do whatever. They'll get on their knees. They'll do whatever to stay in the Commie Party's good graces over there. So yeah, unless that happens, it's stupid, and it's a way for the White House to take a pass on actually having to have a serious, hard position on the CCP and everything that they've done in the past year or so. This is sad. The Band of Brothers, you'll remember that. The story, the real-life story, the amazing film as well. Edward Shames, the American hero, has passed away at the age of 99. Colonel Shames, he was the last remaining officer of the famous and very iconic Easy Company from World War II, and it was the 506th Parachute Infantry Regiment, 101st Airborne Division, one of their fiercest fighting companies in American military history, and Band of Brothers chronicled their actions. And he was involved in some of the most important battles in the war. In fact, Colonel Shames' first combat jump into Normandy on D-Day. It was part of Operation Overlord. He volunteered for Operation Pegasus, fought with Easy Company, Battle of the Bulge. I mean, this is just an amazing story. And what an American hero. Also, Hawaii is, there's a blizzard warning in effect as the lower 48 continues with a snowdrop. Yeah, there's some actual snow that's fallen in Hawaii earlier than in Denver. This is crazy. So coming up, U.S. Senate candidate Eric Greitens was accused of being against SAPA.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
Eric also said, I mean, everything he said was so false that it made one political figure, a friend of mine in Jeff City, he said, maybe Eric took the blindfold off of his mistress and put it on his own eyes, because when he read this law, he clearly missed every single thing the law actually did. Because the third thing he said that SAPA does is it precludes any help between local and federal law enforcement agencies.
So this is all about the SAPA, by the way, is the Second Amendment Preservation Act. And that's something that my home state of Missouri had passed. And this is, it's similar to what we've talked about it before, what a lot of states and a lot of towns, cities have passed in order to sort of have some teeth in fighting back against some of these gun control efforts. Welcome back to the program. DanaLash.com. Dana Lash here. Happy Monday to you. And of course, this audio that I just played was from Aaron Doerr, who is the political director for the Missouri Firearms Coalition. And Eric, the name that he is using there, that refers to former Missouri governor and now Senate candidate for Roy Blunt's. He's going to be retiring his old seat for U.S. Senate from Missouri, Eric Greitens. And Eric Greitens had done an interview, and I want to play this real quick, and then we're going to go to Aaron. He had done, Eric Greitens had given an interview wherein he kind of blasted the Second Amendment Preservation Act. Listen.
Where I stand has always been clear. I support the Second Amendment. In fact, I'm the strongest supporter of the Second Amendment in this race. I'm the only person in my race who's ever carried a weapon in combat. When I served as a Navy SEAL, I carry here at home, and I support the Second Amendment Preservation Act.
There's some Navy SEALs who don't like his use of Navy SEALs, and they question combat stuff, and that's a whole other story that you can Google, which I encourage you to do. Has he actually always supported Second Amendment stuff? This is a huge issue, especially when you consider rising crime rates, when you consider the defund the police effort and firearm ownership at super high rates, record sales. Every single month there's a new record number for sales. So this is becoming a major issue. You could say a campaign defining issue. And this is what Missouri Firearms Coalition has asked. Aaron Doerr is the political director for the Missouri Firearms Coalition. That was his audio that we opened the show with. And he joins us now via Skype. Aaron, good to see you. Thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for the time, Dana.
Of course. So I got to get your response to this, because now you had a lot of pushback, you and a lot of grassroots folks in Missouri, a lot of pushback on the criticism there of the Second Amendment Preservation Act. So I'll start there, because he was saying some things that don't exactly line up to how the law reads. And you said they were outright false and that they were Democrat talking points. And I wanted to get some of your thoughts on that. Let's start with what he had said about SAPA. Tell us about that and then your response.
Yeah, as we said in our initial videos on this, everything he said was absolutely false. He said that cops can be prosecuted via SAPA. That's not the case. That local authorities can't get help from federal agencies investigating Missouri crimes. That's not the case. That it's going to be harmful to defunding the police. No cops are defunded by SAPA. They're simply diverted. We want Missouri cops to enforce Missouri gun laws. If Missouri wanted to have federal tyrannical gun control laws, we'd pass them in Jeff City. We don't want that garbage. We want our cops to enforce our laws, not federal laws. That's what SAPA does. He was wrong on all of that.
And my thought, too, when I was reading the law, it reminded me of sort of a reinforcement of the commandeering clause, you know, for the 10th Amendment, and how you can't have and use state resources to carry out and implement federal policies or federal requirements. I mean, there's case precedent on that. And it seemed to me it was a reinforcement of that.
that's the whole foundation for this bill, is the anti-commandeering doctrine. And as you said, for hundreds of years, the Supreme Court, leftist justices and conservative have always said that when the state and federal laws disagree, the feds cannot force the states to enforce federal laws they disagree with. And so we're simply saying that with SEPA, we don't like Joe Biden's gun control tyranny, whether it's legislative or executive orders. And here in Missouri, we want our cops to enforce our laws. Apparently, Eric Greitens does not agree with that.
Yeah, the claims that he made about it, and I went and I read the law, and then I went and read the law again, and then I listened to his interview again, and I'm like, where is he getting this from? Because he says things that, and you're right, I went and I was looking at some of the criticisms of SEPA, and it's exactly what the anti-gun lobbyists have been arguing. So why is he repeating that? He's supposed to be a conservative 2A candidate.
There's a lot of people asking that very question this week right now in Missouri. What is the deal here? You know, of course, our members were not shocked by this. You know, this is not the first time that Eric has been unhelpful, to say the least, towards gun rights. When he first ran for office in 16, we had just passed constitutional carry at that time in Jeff City. Then Governor Nixon vetoed that. We were in that veto override ramp up time. And Eric refused to support constitutional carry when all the rest of the candidates in that primary did. And then days before he became the governor, he changed the rules and said we could no longer carry in our state capitol, where we had carried for over 100 years through multiple world wars. But all of a sudden, under Greitens' tenure, it was against the rules to carry in our own state capitol. And then when he was governor, we had nothing from him. We had no help, no pushing legislation, nothing to help advance our gun rights in Jeff City. So we've had a long history of this with Eric Greitens. For gun owners, this is the biggest snafu he's had so far, but it's not the first time he's attacked our gun rights.
Wow. We're talking with Aaron Doerr, who is the political director for the Missouri Firearms Coalition, a huge group of grassroots gun owners and 2A supporters in the state of Missouri, talking about this U.S. Senate race for Roy Blunt's old seat. And Eric Greitens, who was against the Second Amendment Preservation Act, which was, as Aaron was just, we were just talking about, that's, you know, it's an anti-commandeering clause. And that's actually, that's been cited in so many of these cases to fight back against federal gun control. I wanted to get your response to Greitens saying that he had tweeted, just the other day, I 100% support the Second Amendment Preservation Act, because now it's apparently different now from the audio that we just played earlier. And then he said this, and I think he's talking about you, Aaron. He says, quote, do nothing establishment rhinos and lobbyists will never truly stand up for the Second Amendment to protect your rights. Don't be fooled. So are you rhino? I'm trying to figure this out.
I think he means that myself and our bill sponsors, Representative Jared Taylor and Senators Eric Burleson, are the rhinos in Jeff City. The reality is that our organization's members have unseated many anti-gun Republicans. We love rhino.
Well, and I got to ask you, this is a guy who, correct me if I'm wrong, Aaron, was he not a Democrat up until 2016?
Absolutely. Because so for your audience, just don't forget, in Eric Greitens' world, everybody is a rhino except for Eric Greitens. And so when it comes to the guys who passed SAPE, I mentioned these guys, champions for freedom in Jeff City. Senator Burleson helped us pass constitutional carry, stand your ground, lifetime carry permits, expanded castle doctrine, and SAPE. That's the rhino that Eric Greitens is talking about. The guy was 100% opposed to SAPE last week Tuesday, and on Saturday, he's 110%, he says, in the support of SAPE. We all know what's going on. He's made a dumpster fire out of his campaign. You don't attack gun rights in Missouri ever, and you don't do it for sure in the midst of a Republican Party primary.
Yeah.
And he did it. He had stupid consultants that told him to do it, and he's paying the price. So Tuesday, he's against it. Saturday, he's for it. Not a big surprise, frankly, coming out of Eric Greitens' mouth.
And we've had Burleson on the program talking about when he was expanding some of this stuff. And I mean, I just find it fascinating for anyone to call Burleson or any of these other bill sponsors rhinos. These guys are hardcore Second Amendment supporters that have been Second Amendment supporters for longer than Greitens has been a Republican, yes, actually, which I think, yes, is interesting. We're talking with, yes, with Aaron Doerr, Missouri Firearms Coalition. I want to go back because you brought up something very interesting. You said that gun owners in Missouri and people who are with the Missouri Firearms Coalition, this is not surprising to them because he had refused to support previously constitutional carry. Tell us a little bit more about this, because that's a huge issue for folks.
Yeah, well, back in 2016, it wasn't quite as popular as it is today. We were still kind of one of the earlier states to make, mm-hmm, this a reality. And so we had it passed through the legislature, and we had a Democrat governor at that time, Jay Nixon, who vetoed the bill. Not a big surprise. And in that ramp up between the end of May and the middle of September, when the override session takes place, every political figure in the state who wanted to run for office or was engaged in a campaign was very much in support of the override of this veto. All the other gubernatorial candidates, if memory serves, were publicly urging the legislature to override Jay Nixon's veto. And they all surveyed with us 100%. Eric Greitens would never survey, and Eric Greitens would never lift a finger to help us pass this monumental expansion of freedom. So we needed him in 2016. He did nothing to help advance constitutional carry. We needed him when he was the governor to help us get rid of deadly gun-free zones. He refused to lift a finger in that case. And then while he was at it, he made it against the rules for us to carry in our own state capitol. So
wow,
this guy has a history of, you know, it's not the first time, right? For our members, we're pretty used to candidates on both sides of the line using guns as, yep, campaign fodder. But, you know, Joe Biden said buy a shotgun too, and Obama had photographs of him out hunting. So seeing tough guy videos shooting a machine gun, that doesn't tell us where you actually stand when it comes to our freedoms. And so for our members, you know, all the machine gun shoot videos in the world are not going to make up for the fact that he has betrayed, mm-hmm, us every time we needed him. And now with this madman in the White House, now that we actually passed the best SAPA law in the country, he stabs us in the back. We're not going to forget it.
Yeah, you can't. And that's a great point as well, because, you know, people don't realize unless you're a firearm owner, you hunt. I mean, you can't fool people in the 2A community. They know whether it's a lifestyle or not. They know whether you're putting on or not. You can't have a PR crafting a message, yeah, on it, because people can see it really quickly. This last question for you. I mean, what is so he says he supports it. I would imagine, because I've seen a lot of feedback already from people who had they're undecided in the primary race. I know it's a kind of a crazy primary. I always get nervous about what Democrats are going to do. But it does bring up the question, you know, if you have someone who can't even be dependent upon to support constitutional carry or to even be straight, when our eyes and ears, you know, we trust those up more than we do politicians when they say that they don't support Second Amendment Preservation Act and then they come, mm-hmm, back and say that they support it. How would somebody like that in the Senate, with everything being so close, if you got a red flag law, because, you know, those things are still in committee, you know, there's a lot of other stuff that's still going to be brought through. Can you even, when the heat is on, can you count on somebody like that?
Well, the Missouri Firearms Coalition members are not, it's not your granddaddy's gun rights organization. Right. We don't trust anybody based on party affiliation or what they say. We only trust what have you done, and what have you done when it comes to the fight for freedom. We are well aware of a large number of Republican senators in office today, mm-hmm, who have professed support in the last 2 years for red flag gun seizures, some of them for universal background checks. So the idea that we're going to just give somebody our blessing as gun owners because you have a machine gun shoot video, that might have worked 10 years ago. Those days are gone. All we care about right now is, what will you actually do? You know, what President Trump, I think, showed to gun owners is that there's a lot of swamp monsters who are in the Republican camp, as well as there are anti-gun leftists. All of them are working either publicly or behind the scenes against our freedoms. For us as gun owners, we're trying to get pro-gun champions in office, not just a person to warm a seat.
Yeah, there you go. That's a great point. Aaron Doerr with the Missouri Firearms Coalition. Appreciate your advocacy on this and your voice and making sure everybody's aware of this. Thanks so much for joining us today. Keep in touch.
Thank you, Dana.
Sure. Of course.
Have a good day.
You too. If you're a longtime listener, you've heard me talk about Delta Rescue, and this is an organization that is so incredibly important to me, and right now they need your support more than ever. By being a part of the Delta mission, you are the difference between life and death for so many animals. Join me today in becoming a member of the Delta Rescue team with your donation. Leo Grillo, the founder of Delta Rescue, is dedicated to giving the animals he rescues the life they deserve. Donate what your heart tells you to today in remembrance of a beloved pet that made you feel the way Leo feels about all of his rescue animals. Visit deltarescue.org/Dana and press the green donate button. And while you're at deltarescue.org/Dana, request my free estate package for information on Delta's tax saving estate planning. It lays out all you need to know about growing your estate while letting your compassion for animals live well on into the future. This is only available at deltarescue.org/Dana. So show your dedication and everlasting love and make your legacy work for the animals. Visit deltarescue.org/Dana today.
The Dana Show, sponsored by 30 years of game-changing Kel-Tec innovation, like the P50, a new breed of pistol. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I don't even know where to start. It was a very busy weekend for some Florida folks. First off, if you're going to buy a sofa, check it. Can't believe I'm having to say this. WFLA, Pinellas County man, he called the police on Saturday because he had got a new couch, right? And he bought the couch days earlier, and then apparently there was a snake in it. And he had to call the police to come and get a giant 5-foot-long snake. He thinks that the snake was hiding in the couch. I mean, an officer took a picture of it, and I love how this one officer, she's holding it up, and the other ones are like, yeah, kind of not really getting near it, but smiling. It's funny. It was taken to a local pet store. The couch snake was taken to a pet store. I hope that they advertise it like that. But can you imagine you get a new... How do you even find out that there's one in there? Do you hear it? Do you see your couch moving? Was it a sectional? Like, I'm just curious about this. That's terrifying. I mean, we have enough things to be worried about. You know what I'm saying? Come on. I can't read this one. No, I can't. It had to do with a guy that has very weird tattooed eyebrows and a pickle. Okay. And his front yard. That's it. Let's do this one. A Florida man was arrested for shooting a flamethrower at his neighbors. 57-year-old Andre Abrams. He got mad over some of the parking issues in his neighborhood, right? And so he came out of his residence and just started throwing flames, right? Instead of, some people throw hands, but not Andre Abrams. He throws flames. He had his flamethrower and he sprayed it in the direction of his neighbor's vehicle. And the flames spray out to about 20 feet. It's an XM42 light. So at the time, there were three kids sitting in the car, and they saw him walking towards them with a flamethrower and spraying the flamethrower at the car. Witnesses say that the flames came within 5 feet of the car, and they were afraid of being burned and afraid that the car would catch on fire. Not everything works like the movies, guys. Stop. So they had police come out. Abrams said that he had ongoing issues with parking. He's like, yeah, I did it. He said he wasn't targeting the kids, but he was mad about the cars. He reportedly said that if he wanted to have burned the car, he would have. I don't think that that's helping your case, dude. So there have been multiple reports of him using his flamethrower in his neighborhood. So I just want to let you all know this. The old guy who's like, get off my lawn, he's now got a flamethrower. So y'all might want to be respectful of the man's private property. I'm just saying. He's been released on $45,000 bail, $15,000 for each of the three counts of aggravated assault. And in his mugshot, his expression is, come on now. That's his expression. Just saying. Flamethrowers, man. They're great if you want to get at a spider and the spider's away from you. We have more coming up, third hour of the show, on the way. Don't go anywhere. Friends, we're on the brink of an economic crisis, really. I mean, thanks to the economic policies and the jobless numbers, everything's been abysmal. Inflation is starting to increase. We're seeing supply chain disruptions. It's kind of crazy. Instead of following the former president's pro-business agenda that had the economy booming, now the new administration wants to tax corporations, tax small businesses, pass trillion-dollar bills that we can't pay for. You need to you take proactive steps to protect your wealth and your retirement by investing in gold and precious metals, and legacy precious metals can help. Washington keeps printing money and it devalues your dollar. Gold offers you a hedge against inflation. As the dollar gets weaker, gold gets stronger. So the folks at Legacy Precious Metals are the gold standard when it comes to investing in precious metals. They have a team of experts who can counsel you on the best options for you and your family. Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals at 866-580-2088 or visit them online to download their free investor's guide that's full of all kinds of useful information at legacypminvestments.com. Visit legacy, letter P, letter M, investments.com.
The Biden administration will not send any diplomatic or official representation to the Beijing 2022 Winter Olympics and Paralympic Games, given the PRC's ongoing genocide and crimes against humanity in Xinjiang and other human rights abuses. The athletes on Team USA have our full support. We will be behind them 100% as we cheer them on from home, but we will not be contributing to the fanfare of the games. U.S. diplomatic or official representation would treat these games as business as usual in the face of the PRC's egregious human rights abuses and atrocities in Xinjiang, and we simply can't do that. As the president has told President Xi, standing up for human rights is in the DNA of Americans. We have a fundamental commitment to promoting human rights, and we feel strongly in our position, and we will continue to take actions to advance human rights in China and beyond.
Diplomatic boycott is the key word there. We're going to talk about that with Stephen Yates coming up. Welcome back to the show. DanaLash.com. Good to be with you this Monday, third hour of our program. Make sure you go sign up for the newsletter, chapter and verse, my kids' book, Paws Off My Cannon, which is a great way to teach kids about self-defense, right? Self-defense and responsibility, and your life is worth protecting. So this situation here, the Olympic boycott, the diplomatic boycott, athletes are still going to go and nothing's going to change. This is nothing. It means nothing. It is nothing. A diplomatic boycott is a way for the administration to act like they are doing something about this, or that they're taking a strong stance without actually taking a strong stance. We're sending athletes still. Saki said, had you heard her saying, quote, the athletes on Team USA have our full support. We will be behind them 100% as we cheer them on from home. I'm not watching the Olympics. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that everything is just business as usual. That's what is business as usual, and allowing this participation with a communist Chinese party to continue. This is the stupidest, most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. This is a joke. Any athlete who chooses to compete in this is a joke. I don't give a rat's backside what your politics are. Any athlete who goes on with this is a joke. We should just do our own thing with Tokyo. Or Taiwan, that would be great, right? This is, I don't know. I don't, are we seriously? This is how I look at this. Because I've seen some people say, well, you can't take it from these athletes. I really, the athletes, you mean the people who have the big sponsorship deals and all of this stuff? You tell me what you think is more concerning. And this even goes beyond the imprisonment of a minority population in China. And I mean, it's crazy that I even have to say that it goes beyond that. But think about the effects of this virus. Think about the inroads that China has been trying to make to try to own every other country out there to spread communism. I mean, you've heard the stories about our spies, right? We've had our on the ground surveillance now is basically kneecapped. This is a country that has been making war overtures. We're in a cold war with China right now. I understand the argument that, well, this is going to, it'll preserve some civility and maybe keep a cold war from going hot. I disagree, because I think that anyone who would argue something like that has a complete lack of understanding, not just of China's motivations, but also their behavioral history and ultimately their overall goal for, you know, the next 10 to 20 years. I mean, that's there. We're kicking back and forth. And yeah, so one of our listeners brings up a good point. Didn't China say that, I know this had to deal, I know after Taiwan, I think China had criticized U.S. democracy, and they had said something about maybe not wanting to have our leaders anymore, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know. The whole point is that this is a joke. This isn't a real boycott.
When you're stuck discussing politics with your friends, who's the most informed person in the group? Yep, you are. You're welcome.
Listen, follow, subscribe.
The Dana Show.
That Russia from invading Ukraine. The AP is reporting that they're expected to potentially invade in 2022.
We've been aware of Russia's actions for a long time. And my expectation is you're going to have a long discussion.
Do you accept Putin's red line on Ukraine?
I don't accept anybody's red line.
That is, of course, new remarks by President Joe Biden. There's going to be a Pentagon briefing soon on Russia. There's a lot of things that have been reported on this, including the continual buildup. And we've got a lot of stuff to get into. Really quickly, quick note, we just had a, if you're listening to the show, we appreciate it. We're back. We had a out of nowhere, a major power surge that fried our board. And thankfully, Kane and Juan and Chris and everybody were running, and we're able to get a substitute board in, but we're still dealing with some residual effects of that. So, yeah, we were just talking and it got hissy and then pop real loud. So we've never had that happen. So our apologies on that, but we wanted to keep you up to date. So you probably heard some evergreen stuff. We're still here. We're just dealing with that, but we're back now. Joining us right now on the phone, Stephen Yates, who is a foreign policy expert, having worked previously advising former VP Dick Cheney in the Bush White House. And of course, he's been following all of this. And I have to, first off, before I get into the Russia stuff, because not only are we going to have a briefing on that, and apparently Biden and Putin are expected to talk again, but the U.S. announced just a little bit ago, and we heard this from Jen Psaki, that there is going to be a diplomatic boycott of the Beijing Olympics. And Stephen, first off, welcome. I appreciate you joining us. But I think, explain to us what the diplomatic boycott is, because to me, it sounds like it's nothing.
Yeah. Well, Dana, the diplomatic boycott is essentially the part of the Olympics that most viewers never pay any attention to. Most people are going to be watching sporting. They'll see some award ceremonies. Maybe they'll see a president or a head of state show up. They might remember from a past Olympics, there was a chance encounter between Vice President Pence and Kim Jong-un's sister. And so every once in a while, there's some diplomatic intrigue that happened. But essentially, the diplomatic boycott is we're not going to send any of our officials to China at that time. And so there's no opportunity for strategery on the margins of this.
Yeah. Well, because it seems, and we're talking to Stephen Yates, and this thing that was just announced this afternoon, the diplomatic boycott of the Beijing Olympics. I mean, I don't know why we wouldn't have a full on boycott of this, and why we wouldn't have American corporations do the same, why we are even sending our athletes over there. Because I honestly would not feel safe as an athlete going over there, especially when they disappeared one tennis star already, Steve.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, your humble commentator has advocated for several moons that we should boycott altogether. And I've noticed that former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has started to call for the same thing. There are some athletes and prominent public figures that are beginning to say things. I haven't heard anything beyond the Women's Tennis Association. I'd like to hear whether the Men's Tennis Association stands with the Women's Tennis Association. Perhaps people can send some friendly worded emails in their direction to ask inquiring questions. But for now, we're stuck in this weird situation where a couple of months before the Olympics, the International Olympic Committee, known a little bit for some corruption in the past, is going to host an Olympics in a thoroughly corrupt capital in a country that is engaging in genocide, possibly the worst environmental criminal there is on the planet. And what are they going to celebrate? But the spirit of the games, I don't get it.
Yeah, no, it doesn't make any sense. What exactly? Because it seems like it's just a pass for China. Like, oh, well, we're going to have a little diplomatic boycott, but still, by and large, we're still going to come together and go through the whole thing. Now, I've had, and we're talking with Stephen Yates, foreign policy expert. There are people out there who say, oh, well, you know, even during the, 1936 Olympics, the United States participated and Adolf Hitler was there. And Jesse Owens had, he ended up not only being snubbed by Hitler, but apparently by our own president, FDR, at the time. There's an amazing backstory to that. But what do you say to people when they, if they bring that up and say, well, you know, we even went in the 30s with when Hitler was running Germany. So this isn't any different, because I still feel like that's not a good enough justification. But I wanted to get your take.
Well, even if I took that argument mostly at face value, which I don't, and I try to address that in the commentary that I put out on the Daily Caller in April, if anyone wants to Google that. But basically, there is no modern day Jesse Owens right now. Our athletes don't go over there with freedom of speech. They don't have their future open and wide and free to their own decisions. If an athlete goes to the Olympics, gets gold, and puts on a protest in Beijing, what chance do they have in getting drafted into the NBA, representing a major clothing brand, going in and doing movies with Hollywood? I mean, basically, they have a guaranteed straight line to cancellation. And so there is no way to do the Jesse Owens movement in 2022 the way it happened in 1936. If it could, then I might have actually be open to go and put a very diplomatic middle finger to Winnie the Pooh, Xi Jinping, when we take gold, and just basically tell them to stuff it.
Yeah, no, and I like your take on that. By the way, I tweeted that out. Folks can look on Twitter, and you can see Yates's piece about the Olympics from the Daily Caller back in April. Because you got into the 80s, you got into all of that as well. Because we had Germany, Communist China in 08. And there was only one time in 1980 that you'd said that we had actually refused to participate in the Olympics. And because it seems like, well, what? I don't understand the point. And that brings a lot of money in. I mean, you're talking about sending a lot of American dollars to Communist China. And so it's not a boycott until I think all these corporations would get into it. And you know, they're not going to get involved in any, they're not going to say anything, because the dollars are too, it's too much of a temptation for all these corporations. And China, I mean, they're allowing just enough capitalism, they're still a communist nation, to try to be competitive and try to take out and beat other countries that way, because that's ultimately what this comes down to. It's the money, like for Hollywood, the theater screens that they have over there, the people that watch the sports. I mean, you know, when you control everything that everybody does in the government, you can direct money. I mean, it's very easy to use that to entice people.
But there's two big tools that they use to basically compel people to engage in controlled behavior and controlled speech. One is supply chain, but then the other is access to employment and further advancement. If we had secure supply chains, if we didn't have overdependence on slave labor camps in China's far west, then we would have more options and there would be no excuse. If we had corporations that were more sensitive to American consumers who were informed by their own ideals, then they would have to worry about that money. The fact of the matter is, even though China's an enormous population, the American population buys many, many times more in consumer goods. And if American consumers would organize themselves and flex a little muscle, these companies would feel a heck of a lot more than any kind of a pressure campaign from the Chinese government. And so I would like to believe we're heading to a point of rebalancing and maybe rethinking. We've got a long way to go. But I think American consumers and a lot of people around the world that are fed up with the CCP model of bullying, stealing, dehumanizing people, taking your data and trying to control your future. Maybe if you're fed up with that, start finding ways to consume in ways that don't enhance the monster.
Mm. I want to switch gears and talk about Russia and NATO here really quickly, because we're having a Pentagon press briefing right now where the United States government's been saying that apparently Russia is preparing for an invasion of Ukraine. And there's expected to be a phone call between Biden and Putin in which he's expected to demand Putin is expected to demand from Biden that there's not going to be any kind of eastward expansion of NATO. Do you think, number one, that Russia is actually going to be, are they going to invade Ukraine? Are we on the eve of that? And number two, what about NATO's alliance? Because they're not, it was a stance that they said that that they would be affirmed as a member at some point. Talk to us a little bit about apparently what this means concerning U.S. involvement.
Well, Ukraine is not a member, and so there isn't kind of an automatic trigger within the treaty that says that the United States is automatically involved. And we would know that somewhat from the last time that the Obama-Biden foreign policy team was responsible for weakness that resulted in loss of sovereign territory in the Ukraine. And so there's every reason to believe that Putin and his military see somewhat of a time of opportunity with really low likelihood of consequences from this administration or from Europe. And so they could take more territory. The kind of full-on invasion where people might envision actually taking over the whole country, I think that's a really low probability. It could happen. Anything could happen. But I think that the idea of them further encroaching, bullying, holding the economy hostage for concessions, all of that's what's in play right now. This is a demonstration of force by Russia and an exposure of weakness by the United States and NATO.
Yep, it's weird to me. We're talking to Stephen Yates, foreign policy expert. It's weird to me, and you can find him, by the way, at YatesComms on Twitter. If the administration is telegraphing that, oh, well, they're going to invade, that Russia's, you know, having a buildup, etc., and then all they're doing is going out and having a press conference about it. I mean, they've never really taken a strong stance except to say, don't do that, nuh-uh. And Russia's apparently has already told NATO if anybody decides to do anything, we will react. So, I mean, really, what can the United States say? I mean, John Kirby's talking about this right now. They're saying, oh, the aggressions and a Russian aggression has to stop. But that's it. That's all that they've said. I don't think that they've done anything else new sanction wise since Trump.
Yeah, well, foreign powers don't really much care what a spokesman says if they've talked straight to the horse, which in this case would be the president. The president and Putin have already spoken directly. At that time, President Biden told Putin that he needed to back off on cyber operations, and that was followed shortly thereafter by further cyber attacks. And so I don't know that there's anything that can be said at this point that changes anything. In fact, the only time that the words of an American president or a spokesperson have any influence over tyrants is when it happens to coincide with the movement of real material force that could do harm. And so, you know, immediately after 9/11, when the Russians were engaged in military exercises and the United States was going up the DEFCON scale, phone calls were made. They're in full alert and there's an immediate response when they see that kind of stuff. When it's just a spokesman exercising the freedom of speech from the podium, it doesn't even, like, it's not even a feather's glance against the face of the Russians at that point.
Yeah, goodness. It's such a mess, our foreign policy now. Stephen Yates keeps him busy at YatesComms. Always good to talk with you, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us and appreciate your time.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern time.
DanaLash.com. Always good to be with you this Monday. Starting the week out right, ladies and gents. I have to share this bit with you about Rashida Tlaib. She was on the floor of the House and she was going on and on and on saying, and this was just this morning, and The Hill has her saying, she says, quote, I worked full time Monday through Friday and I took weekend classes to get my law degree and still close to $200,000 in debt. And I still over $70,000 and most of it was interest. Why is everybody else responsible for her bill? She was the one who chose to get into that. It's kind of dumb. She chose to get into that, nobody else. I mean, I was a full-time student and I worked two part-time jobs. And during Christmas, I took a third part-time job. And whatever scholarships didn't cover, had to pay it. So she chose to enter that debt. We didn't. I think that's so irresponsible to get in. And by the way, for the people who are mad, if you're mad about how much school costs, get mad at the Democrats that voted to nationalize student loans, which has jacked up the prices like crazy. I'm always mystified when people like Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders complain about it. And I'm like, well, were you not? You literally were in office and you voted to support nationalizing student loans, which exploded the cost of going to college. That's insane. And I also think her rant is completely out of touch. I had one listener say she could send in a payment of $5,800 a month for a year to pay off her loan and still have $100,000 to live off of. Her tirade is entirely out of touch. Yeah, completely agree. I mean, she stop demanding everybody else pay your bills. That's it. Stop. And you can't cancel debt because who is the person that lends it to you? They are the ones that ultimately have to take that cost. Well, there are a lot of colleges that have reasonable tuitions. Not every college has a ridiculous, you know, cost of learning. And not everybody needs to go to college as well. But this idea that you should get something for free because you demand it is no. Then live your life with a realistic expectation of what you can and can't do then. Nobody entered that debt with you. You didn't co-sign the loan on my house when I bought a house. So, you know, why should you be responsible for that? All right. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right. Believe it or not, it's Brian Stelter. He asks a very obvious, well, a question that has an obvious answer, at least. Let's hear it.
Ultimately, this is about trust in media, as Sarah was referring to. Trust in media. Has CNN lost trust as a result of this, Sarah Wick?
The answer is yes.
I'll take yes for a resounding thousand, Alex.
Yes. So, yeah, it's just stupid that he plays this. I hope he's playing dumb. Maybe it's real. I don't know. Maybe he's not playing. But it just...
You think he might be playing dumb?
It's stupid. Yeah, I think he might be playing dumb.
Or is he just dumb?
Right. That's what I'm... That's the conundrum.
$1 million question.
Could be the latter more than the former.
Folks, make sure you go sign up for that newsletter, chapter and verse, over at Substack. And don't forget, pause off my canon. Very excited. It's a children's book that teaches kids in a non-condescending way about self-defense, because it's not a crime to defend yourself. It's not. So, we'll cover everything with all the foreign policy stuff, the Olympics and everything else. So make sure you get that newsletter. Have a great evening, folks. We'll start this week out right. Back with you tomorrow.